Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth now on the other side of the glass, joining Joe Rex Road. Robbie Stanley is out sick today. We hope he gets to feeling better. We got the 4 a.m. text from him saying, hey, I can't make it today. So hope Robbie is feeling better and can be back here in studio tomorrow.
Yeah, text us and let us know you're okay, Robbie.
Yeah. We really want to know.
Send us a text. Send us a, you know, send us a tweet. Send us something. Yeah. We want to make sure you're all right, buddy.
And in return, we can send him a gift basket.
Really?
Sure.
Got one for him?
No, not really. all right, so the NBA playoffs, we are down to the final four in the NBA playoffs. And, Joe, this is something that we talked about yesterday with Robbie Stanley and Mark Howard, is the final four good for the NBA? And we bring this up because the top villains in the league are all eliminated, whether that's LeBron James, whether that's Kevin Durant. I won't put Steph Curry in a villain role, but you have the top stars in your league not in the final four. You have four franchises that aren't used to being on this stage. Atlanta, Milwaukee, Phoenix, the Clippers. Like, these are not teams that are traditionally in this mix, and here we are. One of those four teams is going to come away champions in the NBA. So, do you feel like, Joe, that this is a good thing for the league, or are they going to suffer from it?
Well, I mean, it's to me, it's two different things, and I'd like Elijah Campbell's thought. I know you got some takes on this, Mr. Hoops in there. To me, in the short term, will it be good for the ratings? It probably won't. I mean, I'm sure the ratings will suffer to some extent for not having a LeBron or some of these established stars or different markets that could be in there. But I think, like, long term, you know, like if I'm running that league, I don't at all mind having different teams in there, different stars for people to watch. I mean, look, Devin Booker is a guy who is an emerging superstar in this league. I think it's great to have him on this stage. I think it's great for Phoenix. You know, that's a long-suffering fan base. You know, the Bucks too. I mean, the Bucks and look, Giannis has been great, but this is a different level to be on this stage. A lot of the casual fans who don't pay close attention, you know, start to tune in at this time too. I think it's, you know, I mean, Trae Young is terrific, and another guy, and another long-suffering fan base, you know, that's getting an opportunity here. So, I mean, I think you're introducing some people to this. I think it's never bad to introduce new stars. If you're hung up on, like, every year we got to have the Lakers and, you know, whatever, LeBron or Steph, then, you know, what kind of a league do you have? I mean, I think the bigger picture is that it's good. This will, like, the TV execs right now, they're not happy about this.
Right.
Elijah?
Well, I mean, you combine this with the fact that the NBA Finals is going to be going on in, like, early July. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing either, where people are taking vacations around July 4th, and that's when your number one time of year is taking place. Like, no matter what, whether LeBron or KD are in there, the ratings are probably going to be different because people's lives are a little different in early July than they are in early to mid-June. I do think that will add to this with the fact that you're not going to have one of the big names that we typically see in the NBA Finals playing in there this year.
Yeah, and that's you're right about that. And they're going to take a little bit of a hit this year. But the thing with this is it's going to help the NBA down the road. I mean, in 2014-15, I mean, I'm sure NBA execs are kind of panicking a little bit that the Golden State Warriors are going to be in the NBA Finals because no one really watched Steph Curry play outside the second round of the playoffs. And then all of a sudden they become a dynasty, and the rest is history. They win all these titles, and they become the marquee matchup for any team in the NBA. And NBA execs love that. But, like, imagine if Phoenix beats the Clippers, and then you have a team that's led by someone like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul. A team that's going to be around for a while, too, even once Chris Paul retires. They're still going to be around for a little bit because they are so young. They're one of the younger teams in the NBA. The Hawks were another one of the teams that are one of the youngest in the NBA, and they're playing on a huge stage right now. So while it might hurt right now, they're going to be a good draw in the regular season. The Hawks, well, you're going to see more Hawks games on on ESPN, ABC. I think they only had like three this year, three nationally televised games. That number is going to go up. Now that they're more recognizable and they keep coming back to the playoffs every year, those first-round matchups where you might have a four-seed Hawks playing a five-seed Washington Wizards, like that's going to get more of a draw now because the Hawks were able to make this run. So while it might not be great this year and the ratings aren't going to look fantastic, I can probably guess, in the future it's going to help a lot for player visibility for a lot of these younger guys that have never gotten a chance to have this kind of stage.
Well, and maybe Phoenix wins the title. Let's just, under this hypothetical, say Phoenix wins the NBA championship, which I would say that they should be considered the favorite right now, especially when they get Chris Paul back in the lineup from the COVID list. Like, maybe at that point, Devin Booker becomes a bigger star in the NBA because of it, and he averages 35 points a game in the finals, and then now we can put Devin Booker in a realm of superstar that he was not in before, and Devin Booker then becomes more what, you know, must watch TV compared to what he was prior to, or Giannis Antetokounmpo in the same conversation.
Yeah, well, and I think Trae Young is definitely I agree. I mean Booker is special. I don't know if you guys saw Freezing Cold Takes got me the other day. Yeah. So that was
he's no Stanley Johnson, but he's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, when the Titans drafted Stanley Johnson, I tweeted, so this would have been what, 15? Yeah, 15.
The Pistons.
I tweeted like, love the pick. Him. Basically I said, you know, he'll be better than Booker and Justice Winslow, who, of course, they passed on. So, yeah, Freezing Cold Takes found that the other day.
That was half exciting stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Half right. You shot 50% on that tweet because I think Stanley Johnson and Justice Winslow have had pretty similar careers. Neither of them can stay very healthy. Neither of them are very good. But didn't help you that Devin Booker became a superstar.
You've made it, Joe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, very exciting. Freezing Cold Takes.
I hope Freezing Cold Takes one day finds the Ski Atika video.
Was that a bad take or a bad? I guess a bad pronunciation could be.
You could spin it.
Qualify. Yeah. Oh, they've got plenty of options. Like I said, you can find some better stuff if you want out there, I'm sure. But Booker. I mean, at Kentucky, I was like, yeah, he's good. I had no idea he was going to be this. He's incredible. For anybody who hasn't watched Phoenix, I mean, the guy is. He is special. And I think Trae Young, I mean, the Steph Curry comparisons are obvious. He's not Steph Curry. He's not going to be Curry. But he is a fun playmaking. He'll hit a 30-footer on you. I mean, he's a terrific player.
Yeah, we got to kill the Steph Curry comparisons because Steph Curry never shot 33% from three.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, it's the size thing probably more than anything, right?
Size and the way they handle the ball, too. And the fact that when he does hit threes, I mean, like I said, he only shoots about 33, 34%. He is a league average three-point shooter. But when he does hit them, he hits them from 30 feet out.
Exactly.
I guess that's the one thing that's comparable.
Yeah, and again, like to your point, wherever it happens in this league, I mean, look, Ja Morant, Memphis. I mean, I think that's an attractive team moving forward because of him.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's the market is not, you know, relative to the rest of the league. It's not like the NBA execs are like, oh, you got to get the Grizz on. But you know what? When you have great players, you have teams that are, you can do it anywhere in that league. And I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers were completely a non-factor, unwatchable forever. They get LeBron, and what happens? Like they get half the national games. You know, so I understand. Like obviously, LeBron and AD and that team. If you're a TV exec, you want that to happen. But I agree. I think that if the basketball is good, and that's my big thing is. It is so much more fun to watch this league now to me than it was 20 years ago. So much more fun. And I like defense. I like the Pistons, Bad Boys, and all that stuff. But it's the skill level is ridiculous. Around it's the best it's ever been. Basketball is the best it's ever been. These teams would obliterate the teams that I loved from my youth. Obliterate them. It would be comical. But people don't want to – it's like, oh, Jordan, you couldn't guard Jordan. Nah, man. They would obliterate those teams, and embrace the greatness of the basketball.
There's a theory from the NBA haters, I guess you could call them, that defense doesn't exist anymore in the NBA. And I understand that you can look at box scores and some of the scores are ridiculous where it gets over 130 or 140, but there is still being defense. There is the defense is still being played in this league.
It might be better than it ever was because there's more seven-footers, more guys can guard different positions. You can just switch every single screen, and most guys, if you can't guard multiple positions, you're not going to be on the floor.
But if a guy can hit a contested 26-footer on you, what do you do? I mean, that's the thing. It's the skill level has gotten so high. And I get some people don't like this much three-point shooting, and I love a nice mid-range jumper from time to time. I'm not opposed to that, but –
But also weren't opposed to what the Clippers did the other night where they could not stop making threes when they knocked out the Jazz. I mean, that was fun basketball.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a lot of fun to watch. And, yes, the defense to me, that argument, it kind of reminds me of like the Tannehill sucked in the two playoff wins over the Patriots and Ravens. Like, okay, so you looked at the box score and made a judgment. Did you watch it? I mean, it's hard to play defense in this league now against this skill, but – I agree. I mean, it's becoming positionless. It's changing. To me, it's getting better. It's the best product it's been. But I know some people disagree with that.
A lot of people disagree with that. Coming up next, we'll get back into Vanderbilt baseball. They lost last night to NC State 1-0. A great performance by Jack Leiter goes to waste. Coming up next, Kevin Ingram from Vanderbilt will be joining us to talk about that loss and where Vandy goes from here in their quest to repeat as national champs as they are now in the loser's bracket. That's coming up next. He's Joe Rexroad. I'm Ryan Porth filling in for Robbie Stanley this morning. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad on ESPN 102.5 The Game.